Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just we pray for your presence to stir in amongst us, Lord. May we hear your words clearly. May we feel your love strongly. Lord, may your blessing be upon us this morning. Amen. So the last little while we've been working in the book of Romans chapter 12, rather slowly, only one verse at a time. The first one we looked at in verse 1 was about what it looked like to be surrendered. I think in verse 1 it talked about offering yourselves. What does it look like to offer yourself? Then we looked at verse 2 and we looked at what it was like to be separate. And now we're looking, going to look at ourselves, and we're going to try and assess ourselves as honestly as possible. And that comes out of verses 3 to 8 is what we're going to look at today. In fact, that's even printed right there in your bulletin, kind of at the top, so it'll be easier for you to follow along. So, identity. We want to look at, who am I really? We also want to look at belonging. Do I belong somewhere? Belonging or not belonging can make us feel either secure or insecure in life. And we're also going to look at, what do we do with our lives? Am I significant to anyone or for anything? Jesus said that we should love God and love others. And we show that we love God by surrendering to him, but as we know, giving 100% to God can be challenging. And last week we talked about how the world tries to conform us, right? And the enemy wants us to surrender to him as well. We have that spiritual battle for us. Paul urges us to stay separate from the world because, well, simply it's just not good for us. The world cannot offer us God's best, can it? Only God can give God's best. And so today, as we're moving into verses 3 to 8, Paul is going to help us to learn about ourselves and look at ourselves with honest eyes, or as Paul puts it, soberly. So let's just read those few little verses. Romans 12, verse 8 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Can you look at yourself or say to yourself, I matter. I really matter. God has a plan for me. He's given me a very specific gift or gifts. No, I may not be able to sing as good as Roxana to be loved. I don't have to play the piano as well as Clarabelle to be loved. I don't have to whatever you're going to compare yourself to. But I still matter. The truth is, the majority of the human race spends a lot of time in their lives wishing or trying to be like someone else instead of being themselves. Unique, carefully created, knitted together by God himself. So number one, who are you? Your name can tell you a lot, can tell somebody else a lot about you, can't it? Depending on your nationality, some are really strong. They can pick up right away. Like for me, when I was born a Yanko. Back where I come from, people know, oh, that's a good, strong Ukrainian name. I'm Ukrainian. So it tells people a little bit about, me. I'm a Ukrainian. People knew that the Yankos were farmers, right? So I have some identity. And as we grow older, our identity is not so much on maybe a name, but we might say, well, I'm a teacher. That's my identity. Or I'm a nurse. I'm a stay-at-home mom, or whatever it is that you do professionally, right? Our identity is more focused on what we do. Again, our identity may change at the next level of our lives. Maybe we say, I am retired and loving it. I'm a grandma or grandpa, and it's great. Who am I? Our identity is important no matter what age we are. The next thing I wanted to look at was belonging. We feel secure if we belong somewhere. It gives us that feeling of security. Belonging is something that we really deal with from childhood. If you remember back in your school years, you were either part of the cool group, the nerds, the jocks, maybe the cheerleaders, right? We had all these different groups, the preppy, the rich, the poor, the white, the black, the ethnic, and so on. Whatever groups there were back in school. Or maybe you belong to a club. Perhaps you're part of the golf club, the Lions club, the drama club, the art club, or the sewing club. How about gangs, right? Depends on how you dress and act. Really shows what gang you're with. The bottom line is we all have a need and a desire to belong somewhere because we feel that it is or that it shows who we are, sometimes good and sometimes not so good. The next thing I want to look at is why. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever wondered, really? Is this all life has? Is this all there is? Is this all I'm going to be or do? Do you feel significant? Now, these questions are not new questions to our lives. People ask them or contemplate them several times. Have you ever heard of a midlife crisis? Chances are you know of someone or maybe have gone through one yourself. Is a midlife crisis not about trying to seek the answers to these questions? Who am I? Where do I belong? Why am I here? They're not easy questions, and many struggle to find satisfactory answers. Genesis 3 that we read this morning. This scripture will really help to explain why we struggle with finding these answers. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, now this was just after Adam and Eve had ate from the tree that they were not to touch. They're hiding. First time ever. They had never hid from God before. And God asks, where are you? What's the reason, really, for that question? Did God really not know where Adam and Eve were hiding? No. It was really necessary for him to ask that so that Adam and Eve could try and discover the answers. Adam realized that he was what? There's three things. He realized that he was afraid, he was naked, and hiding. And then what does he do? He knows and he realizes that he did something wrong, but he didn't own up to it, did he? Instead, he passes the buck, so to say, and he blames Eve. And that wasn't enough. He ended up blaming God as well. Now, if you were Eve, standing next to your husband there, how would you feel getting thrown under that bus? What do you think went through her mind? She just observed how God had asked Adam a question, and he blamed me. Now God is looking at me. I need to blame someone. And who does she blame? She blames the serpent. She says, it's the serpent. That's who. It's not my fault. It's the serpent's fault. Yes, but who made the serpent? Is it easier sometimes just to blame God for your problems in life? You know, a tragedy strikes, death happens, and what do we often hear? How could God let this happen? There's three things that we learn from our first parents that give light to why we have this hard time answering our identity, belonging, and purpose. And we're going to dig into number one here. Adam said, I was afraid. Why? Why was Adam afraid? Because all of a sudden he felt shame. All of a sudden his nakedness was a negative. It never bothered him before. All of a sudden he was self-conscious. He realized he wasn't perfect. He had made a mistake. He realizes that now he doesn't measure up to a perfect God. And we are the same. We often are afraid of not measuring up to each other, are we? Would you like me to know every little detail about your life? Probably not. Why? Would you feel fear? Would you feel shame? And you can relax, I'm not going to interrogate you. But we all feel that. You're not alone. But do you see how our fear and shame makes it hard to give an honest answer about ourselves when we'd rather pose as someone else or pretend to be someone different? It's easier to pretend to be someone like others would accept than to be rejected, right? The problem is that it's not you. It's hard to be honest with yourself when you are in fear or ashamed. You just want to be loved and accepted for who you are. But others don't really get to see who you are, just your hologram. Point number two was their fear and shame caused them to hide. Now they're feeling insecure. Do you feel insecure when you're naked? We have a fear that is rooted in shame, and then we hide it in our insecurities. We all struggle with insecurity. We all show it in different ways. Some will act powerful, forceful. They'll be in your face trying to show off type. They'll be trying to look bigger than reality, because they don't want you to see how small they really feel. And others will be the opposite. Perhaps they'll cry at everything and have that poor me syndrome. They'll have their head hanging down, feeling so unworthy, feeling like I'm such a terrible person. No one loves me or could ever love me. We all find ways to cover our insecurity somehow. We all relate different out of our fears, and we relate by hiding, and we hide because of our insecurity. And this can all be summed up in two words: the fall. Thirdly, Adam and Eve felt fear, which caused them to feel shame. Their shame caused them to hide, and they hid because they felt insecure and they blamed someone else. First, Eve is blamed. Then the serpent gets blamed, but reality is they both blame God. It's not my fault. It's the woman you made for me. And quick learning Eve. Well, it's not my fault either. It's the serpent that you made. See, blaming comes from denial. It comes from that it's not my fault mentality. Genesis 3 explains a lot about why we are the way we are, which really hasn't been that encouraging, has it? It's been honest, though, and that's important. We can learn and grow, or we can't learn and grow unless we actually face the truth, right? So let's see what God says to us again. Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. It said, For by the grace given to me, I say everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment. Sober. What are you if you're not sober? Opposite of sober is drunk, right? How do you think when you're drunk? Being drunk causes you to see things and reality differently. In other words, drunk equals inaccuracy. Sober would equal accuracy. Do you see yourself soberly? Do you see yourself as, I am fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you acknowledge that, yes, this gift is my strength, but this gift over here is my weakness? Thinking soberly according to your faith. In other words, thinking accurately according to who you are in Christ, knowing how God designed you, how he gifted you, his plan for you, knowing that you are loved, adopted, sealed by the Holy Spirit, knowing that you have a purpose and that you are a child of God, forgiven and loved. And that is who you are. Are you thinking soberly, or are you thinking inaccurately of yourself? The world likes to cloud our thinking. It causes us to think of ourselves inaccurately, and that's why Paul says to stay separate. Do you remember from last week? If this is who God says we are, all that he says in here, then we should believe it. This is who we are. But if you think too highly of yourself, or you think too lowly of yourself, who are you still thinking about? Being sober-minded is to think accurately, biblically, and clearly about who you are. We need to continually renew our minds because the world around us is constantly trying to confuse us. And if you don't know who you are, then how will you know where you belong? Verses 4 and 5. Paul uses the words for as in one body. In my Bible, it says the words just as. In other words, the reason we need to understand who we are and think accurately is so that we know where we fit in. Now, if I asked you what are your strengths, could you rattle a few of them off quickly, or would it take you some time to think about it? Or what if I asked you to give me a list of all your weaknesses? How fast could you count those up? Most likely we'd be quicker at our weaknesses than we are at our strengths. But your strengths are given to you first to build up some confidence in yourself, and second, you have them so that you can help others. You have weaknesses so that you can receive help from others. They also are to keep us, or supposed to keep us, humble. We need others, and others need us. And this creates relationships. It's part of God's beautiful design for humans, and it's a design for our lives that is powerful. Also in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our weaknesses are there also to glorify God so that he can work in our lives. But this design doesn't work if we hide behind a false self. It won't work if we are not honest or sober with ourselves or others. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, because we are here for a reason. God has a role for you in mind, and unless you see yourself soberly, you won't know what to do or who you are. In verses 6 to 8, Paul points out these gifts, but he's not explaining the gifts. It's about what you are gifted to do, nothing else. It says, if you have the gift of prophecy, do it in proportion. If you have the gift to serve, serve. If you are a teacher, teach. And so on. If you have a gift, you have something that God wants, desires, and has uniquely planned for you to give towards the body of Christ. Instead of being a part of everything and every committee, or being a part of nothing. Paul explains that once you focus on your gift, use it, because it is needed, and that is why you are here. If you think of your body, the eyes are to see, the ears to hear, the feet help us stand, the legs help us move, the fingers work with the hand to pick up things or to hold on to something. Our body parts have a purpose, and they belong right where they are for that purpose. Just as, or as in our verse this morning, for as in one body. Paul says that you and I have a role to fill. And the more that you learn about yourself, the way that God sees you, not the world, the more you will be able to love yourself the way that God loves you. The more you will come to loving yourself, the more you can be able to express love to others. So when you leave here today, it is my hope and prayer that you will remember three things from our time together. Number one, from Psalms 39, 13 and 14, God made you unique, and because you are unique, you are very, very valuable. Ephesians 3, 19 to 22, you are a part of God's family. And Ephesians 2, verse 10, God has a purpose for you and has gifted you for that purpose. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness on us. Thank you for giving us a gift. And thank you for giving us weaknesses, Lord, because gifts and strengths and weaknesses are what help develop relationships. We can help one another. Lord, just as we rely on you for our strength, you have designed us and created us so unique. There's not anyone else like us in this entire planet. We are all individually and uniquely made, carefully crafted by you in our mother's womb. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your family. Thank you for purpose. Lord, that we do not wander the earth for no reason at all. Lord, wherever we have feelings of insecurity, may you remove those for us today. Help us to feel confident. confident in your eyes. Help us to see you, or to see us, Lord, the way you see us. Help us to love ourselves the way you love us, so that we can in turn help others, to love others and to help them love themselves too. Lord, if we don't know what our gifts maybe are, inspire us. Call upon another friend or family member to reach out to someone and say, hey, you're really gifted at this. How would you like to do this or that? Lord, help us to encourage one another, build one another up. Lord, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.